Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
Up on Boston and New England Sports Original, WEEI, 93.7 FM in Boston, 103.7 FM down in Providence, 105.5 FM in Springfield, Western Mass. Good afternoon to everybody out there. Of course, up in Keefe, New Hampshire, the Cape and the Islands, and in the great state of Maine. You can also listen to WEEI everywhere you go. We travel with you on the Odyssey app. I was just trying to look up something quickly because Fourier and I in the off-air show,
yep,
we were talking about the Oakland A's and hey, what in the world are they going to do? I just look up the A's attendance. Now again, this was just, it looks like this was only after the first month of the season or so. Because everybody is around 30 games on this one that I found in on ESPN.
Well, that's home games.
They wouldn't
put the away in.
No, they do. They have home and road, and then they have... Oh, I got you. I understand what you're saying now. So this is current. So in 31 home games, the Oakland A's have averaged 8,675 people.
And a lot of those people are protesting.
And you know what? And I tried to just do a quick... minor league Google just to see if I do believe the A's, like their AAA team. I don't know if they're in Las Vegas or if they're in Sacramento. I know it used to be in Sacramento. There was one year where Sacramento got like 18,000 a game for AAA, for crying out loud. I'm going to bet you that at Polar Park, they've outdrawn the Oakland A's.
Oh, yeah.
I would think so.
And so, no, because the discussion is so. The A's are moving to Vegas. They're going to knock down the old Tropicana to build a brand new ballpark there. So in the next 2 years, while they're building that stadium, they have to stay in Oakland. And I was just looking up like the worst record in Major League Baseball history. That what I found was a team by the call the Cleveland Spiders ended the year 20-134. They have, what did I say? They have 12 wins right now.
What year was that?
Like 1889? Something crazy. Yeah, it was old.
But even Shaughnessy wasn't covering it.
But the point is that, like, think about it. Like, you're going to keep playing games in Oakland? I would move them to Canada, and I would just say, you know what, let the people in Canada, like, kind of experience baseball for 2 years with the idea that you're only renting this team, they're only here part-time, and then we're moving them back. So at least they could feel good about playing their sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think the people of Canada experience baseball like they don't have the Blue Jays?
No, my point is Canada wants another team. Montreal wants a team. Like, so we're not going to Toronto. Like, I get it. But the point is, like, there's other provinces in Canada where they would like a baseball team. They're not going to get one because Vegas is getting the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
It would be so much better than staying in Oakland. Can you imagine the players? Like, not like any of them are like, I can't even name an Oakland A right now. And, like, they're just completely tapped out. They just want the year to be over. You think they'll win 30 games?
Oh, I think.
They're 12
no,
right
I,
now.
I said I think they can get to 45. Because teams are going to start rolling over against them. That's the other thing, too.
Or trying to build their stats. Trying to build up. Listen, I got incentives. I got things I need to meet. I'm gonna beat up on this crappy team.
I didn't realize the A's had the biggest stadium in baseball.
They got that outfield that is ginormous.
56,000 they can put in there. Good Lord. Yeah, 10-45 record. Worst start in 120 years. Anyway, it just, hey, things could be worse. Now, I know yesterday the Red Sox had a play like the A's where it was the Little League home run. They're down 4-2, and, well, the next thing you know, the ball is being thrown all over the diamond. You got center fielders that aren't backing things up. Chicken Nick, if we've got it, this is what it sounded like.
Wait, is this the clean version with no additional music?
We need to play our version
of
the play.
Because the biggest debate wasn't that this was an embarrassing, unbelievably bad play.
Yeah.
It was what theme music should be played underneath it.
Sure.
Three options. Okay. The Benny Hill theme song,
which is known as Yakety Sack, ladies and gentlemen.
Yakety Sack. I never knew that, by the way.
If you were to look it up.
The other one was obviously the theme from the movie The Bad News Bears.
Uh-huh.
Or
a little old.
Or it's still relevant. I think, and when people hear that, they know what it means. Or the opening theme music to Curb Your Enthusiasm. Three options. We did all three of them. We did three different versions.
I think the Curb theme would be resigned for what Alex Cora said after the game.
So you want, okay.
I would
narrow
it down
to two. So then your two options are Bad News Bears or Yakety Yak.
Yakety Sack.
Yakety Yak. Yes. Don't talk bad, Yakety Sack. Okay, well, dealer's choice, Nick. Dealer's choice.
Runner goes. The pitch is grounded into the vacated hole for a base hit. Verdugo racing, and he's got to hurry because they're going to wave Margot home. Valdez's relay is not nearly online. Throw to second goes into center field. The Bad News Bears routine is going to give the Rays another run. Two runs in, it is 6-2, and that's one of the worst plays of the entire season.
It's hard to think of anything more ugly than that. That was awful.
It actually fits. The Bad News Bears actually fits
perfect.
Better.
Can we get? I want to hear the other version. I want to hear the Yakety Sack. We have that one also, Nick.
There goes. The pitch is grounded into the vacated hole for a base hit. Verdugo racing in. He's got to hurry
close.
Because they're going to wave Margot home.
It is.
Valdez's relay is not nearly online. Throw to second goes into center field. The Bad News Bears routine is going to give the Rays another run. Two runs in, it is 6-2, and that's one of the worst plays of the entire season.
It's hard to think of anything more ugly than that. That was awful.
I love Joe with that. It's hard to believe there's something worse than that.
Oh, my God. In my 41 years, my eyes have never burned like they have now.
I think
6-2.
Yeah.
And Sean has
watermelons and grapes.
Lou, what do you think?
Lou's probably kicking himself. He would have loved to be part of that. Can you only imagine the curse of that? He would have to put his hand on his mic. So you think the Kirby Enthusiasm.
Pop up.
Kirby Enthusiasm goes underneath Cora.
No, yeah. The curb goes underneath
Cora.
Oh, we
got to do that thing.
Because it's Alex even mixes in there the, you know, this is the team we have and I got to coach them. It's like, oh, right? That it's like a Larry David moment of like having an epiphany or something like that.
I'm screwed.
There's a little bit of that, yeah. Yeah, I think there is the saying it without saying it. The whole, hey, I got to coach him better. All right. Well, what are you coaching there? And that's in part the problem. I mean, you have imperfect pieces that are out there on the diamond. How many more errors is Kike Hernandez going to get to make this year?
More.
He's up to 13?
He's up to 13 now.
And the Red Sox have played 60 games this season.
Well, or 61. But if you pair that, well, I think Turp, I don't know, Turp or Nick, like how many games has he played at shortstop? So that's
45.
45 games, 13 throwing errors, correct?
I do believe so. There's feeling, and then there's the throwing, and it doesn't matter. They're all errors. I don't split
them
up.
They split them up, though.
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, and you should keep track of these things, no question.
We got to keep preaching good defense. We got to coach them. At the end, it's on me. You know, I'm the manager of this club, and we've been sloppy. So, you know, it's not about pointing fingers, right? You know, the roster is a roster, and we have to play better baseball. But, you know, I'm the manager of this team, and You know, defensively, we're not good. We're not, you know, and we keep working. We're going to show up early, and we're going to keep talking to plays, and we're going to coach the players until we get it right. When? I don't know, you know. If it's tomorrow, it's 59 games too late.
He's right about that. So right now they have 39 errors, a tie for the second most in the league, 24 throwing errors, which is first. I mean, listen, I love Cora. I think he's great, obviously, but man, is this just like a part-time, like, are they just snake bit with all the injuries? Has it gotten so bad that for them defensively because of all the injuries up the middle? You talk about your shortstop, your second baseman, your center fielder, your catcher. Like, is it Duvall and Trevor Story the only thing that's missing? Like, Kike Hernandez is horrible at shortstop. He's horrible.
Yeah.
He's been exposed. It used to be, it was like one of those guys that you just love to have him on your team. You can just, you know, you get into a pinch. Like,
plucky underdog guy.
Yeah. Then we sign him. Let's keep him, right? You need guys like that. He's your Swiss Army knife. Just works for anything. What type of jam you're in, you use him. He buys you time. That's what I would say Kiki is.
The 860 text in, Trevor Story getting a pass. I don't.
The guy who hasn't played?
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. That's either someone who has no idea that Trevor Story's hurt, or it's a real reach to be to criticize somebody on the roster when there are lots of people right now that you can pluck from and pick on the roster if you want to.
But the
whole Trevor Story piece of it, who would have thought that for 2 years in a row now we'd be like, boy, if they only had Trevor Story. It's like, okay.
You know,
what are we wishing for?
When you look at like the Red Sox compared to Tampa, probably arguably the best team in baseball right now. When you think about the stars that they have.
Who, Tampa?
Tampa.
They mean that don't have.
Well, I was going to say, the two, Juan DeFranco and the guy you'll see today, Shane McClanahan.
Who's that?
McClanahan.
There you go.
Really emphasize it. Other than those two guys, they're just a really good, fundamentally sound baseball team. I hate using the cliches, but it's so true. They do all the little things. They run the bases well. They play good defense. They put a lot of pressure on you. They force you to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, what a surprise. You know what? I don't believe you can make the right choice, so I'm going to force your hand knowing that you're going to screw it up. So, listen, they won the first game. Like, I think everybody was all excited. And then Kenley Jansen comes in and then coughs it up. And what was it, game two on the second game of the series, which would be the first game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the first game because the game day on Friday got rained out. So they played three games so far, and they've won, what, one out of seven against the Rays?
It has not been good, let's put it that way. I know that Ramil Tapia has been DFA'd. It looks like Christian Arroyo will be thrown into that spot. And I know this morning in Mass Live, Chris Cotillo had a little ditty about how Arroyo and the Red Sox seem to differ on his readiness. So here's what Cotillo writes. There seems to be some sort of strange disconnect between the team and the player when it comes to Arroyo's return. While Arroyo believes he's ready to go now, the Red Sox have not activated him since he returned to Boston from his rehab assignment in Louisville after Friday's game. On Friday, Cora implied there would be a little more scrutiny when it came to clearing Arroyo to play, considering the infielder's injury issues in recent years. First full season with the Red Sox in 21. 28-year-old has been on the injured list on seven occasions with various maladies, including COVID, missing a total of 131 games. But if we are to believe what is out there on the interwebs, it looks like, Christian Arroyo is going to be activated, and I would assume you're going to get him into the lineup tonight, right?
He's playing second base tonight.
Oh, look at that. So there we go.
Where's Kiki playing?
He's in center.
Kiki, who's playing short tonight then, or this afternoon,
That would be one Pablo Reyes.
Oh, my. The immortal. What's your favorite Pablo Reyes game, Fourier?
That's last Pablo one.
Yes, the right answer. There we go. Oh, boy. It just makes you realize what's going on over there at Fenway Park right now, where if I am correct, and let me jump on this MLB standings real quick. So if the Red Sox do lose this afternoon to Tampa, that would put them at 30-30,
yep,
60 games into the year. And, you know, we whiffed. We said it on Friday. And I'm going to say we, because it is the royal us, all of us in Red Sox Nation. We thought if they hung around 500, that would be enough for Chaim Bloom to then look at the end of June and say, hey, you know what? We're not far off. But with the way these American League East teams have played, and now, you know, you've at least got a second team in the American League West that is competitive, just hanging around 500 isn't going to be enough unless you're competing for the AL Central.
Well, no, it's getting worse, and we haven't even mentioned the update on Chris Sale, because obviously Chris Sale has to get an MRI. Was it Thursday? He left that game early. He had to get an MRI Friday. Looks like there's inflammation in his shoulder. So he gets the MRI, gets the CAT scan. So based on Chris Sale's history, this isn't going to be a 10-day IL.
Oh, the ship has sailed.
This is a 2-month.
Thank you.
It's a 2-month deal. He may be done.
Hence.
He may be done.
The ship has sailed.
So would you say he's sailing away?
Oh, very nice.
Sure, we can joust a little bit with that.
Very nice. That's good.
Back and forth.
Wonder if the boat is right beside John Henry's yacht.
Unbelievable. So he's Dunsky, right? I mean, do you think he's Dunsky? Inflammation in your shoulder, right?
Right. That, you know, that feels like just a general ailment to put you on the DL.
You know, it'll be. It's not 10-day.
Oh, my hemorrhoid's inflamed. When will that go down? I don't know. I got stress. I got this. It feels like one of those.
It seems like this is like a 10-day deal that turns into a 60-day deal,
which
turns into
to the season.
To him ripping a TV off out in Polar Park. That's what it looks like, because he just is so frustrated.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. That, I mean, talk about like just snake bit. That's what I'm talking about. You have your issues and all your injuries in the middle of your infield, and you have like Sale finally turning back into Sale, and now he's not even around anymore. Not even available.
And you got guys playing to the back of their baseball card, which is what Chaim Bloom thought everybody would play above the back of the baseball card. Celtics named Sam Cassell an assistant coach. Where are they going to find other veteran assistants? And in watching the NBA Finals, are you able to formulate an opinion on how close or how far the Celtics are away from winning a championship? We'll get to that, but right now, here's Nick. He's ready to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Grish and Fourier on WEEI.
Oh. Oh. Look at that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Off. Oh. Oh. So I guess Sam Cassell now gets control of the music in the locker room, maybe, as the,
so that's he's the oldest
veteran. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's the coaches have no say. I'll say that.
He's the oldest. Over the weekend, the Celtics named Sam Cassell to be an assistant coach to Joe Mazzulla. Celtics are looking to add more. We will get to that. So in this recent go around of head coaches, let's call it, right? Philadelphia got rid of Doc Rivers and they brought in Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Upgrade or not?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to assume that because he has an option, that James Harden signed off on the hiring of Nick Nurse.
You think?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Thought he was leaving.
Well, there were some rumblings
to go to Houston.
Maybe go back to Houston, right? Yeah. But what are they building there? And you want to bring that guy back? It's like, come on, man. Imagine saying to the marketing department, hey, we have a great idea. You know, for a lot of years, we pushed guys like Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul and, and James Harden. We're going to bring Harden back. And I want you, sales team, and the PR people to get excited for having him come back to town. Right.
May not have a choice, though, right? I mean, isn't it his option?
Well, it's his option to go, but then it would also be Houston's option to either bring him in or do something with him. True. Or they might have to trade for him to pay him the most amount of money. So there is that piece of it. Phoenix is going to go with Frank Vogel. He formerly of the Lakers. He's among the many that lies in LeBron's wake, I guess you would say. But Vogel's going to go to Phoenix. We know Detroit gave Monty Williams, if it pops, upwards of $100 million to coach their team. I mean,
good for you.
They must love this guy. Doc Rivers is still out there. And Milwaukee goes with Adrian Griffin.
Huh? Who?
Right. So Milwaukee gets rid of a guy who had won a championship, who would help that team get over the hump, and they bring in a first-year dude.
Where's he from?
He was in Toronto. He was on Nick Nurse's staff in Toronto, I do believe, if not last year, the last couple of seasons.
Okay. So he's been in the league a long time.
Adrian Griffin, former Celtic, for those who remember the Rick Pitino group of tryhards. Adrian Griffin was a part of that.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Because as Joe Mazzulla, okay, fills out his staff, his assistant coaching staff. So Sam Cassell is the first one, veteran guy, played in the league, won three championships, right? Been in the league as an assistant coach, the Clippers, obviously with Doc, with the Philadelphia 76ers. If we're going to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt, like it's an obvious upgrade from coaches, like I think you do too, that they're going to be so much better. We just went through a whole exercise of all the things that were bad, and now coaching will alleviate all those issues from how Mac Jones plays to how the offense is run and how everybody commits and how everybody's excited again. All you did was add one guy. You added Bill O'Brien, okay, who is technically – like, if he was in basketball, he would be Sam Cassell. He'd be like the first,
he'd be the top
second
assistant
in command.
Right.
He'd be the top assistant.
If the coach got thrown out, then that guy runs the deal.
Yeah. So, why don't you or people look at the hiring of Sam Cassell as an obvious upgrade to an already good team, because the Celtics are better than the Patriots are as far as their talent, what they're capable of doing, and how close they are to a champion. So adding a significant coach, just like the Patriots did with Bill O'Brien, should make everybody happy.
I would think so. I think the issue is, can you add more? Is there one more veteran NBA voice that you can throw on that bench to be able to not counteract, don't get me wrong, but to add to what Sam Cassell is going to bring? And can Joe Mazzulla kind of find that guy who would be willing to sort of be the third man on the bench, let's call
it? What does a third man on the bench do, really? What is his job?
Well, look, Tom Thibodeau was here for many years, and he was the defensive coordinator. So, you know, when Doc was here, there were some who thought that Tom Thibodeau was the top assistant, but in reality, he was the guy who coordinated the defense. And look at how he runs things in New York. It's really rooted in defense. So even though Thibodeau went on to go be a head coach in the NBA, to me, I always looked at him as almost like a number two assistant, because he was so invested in the defense. It was almost like having an offensive and a defensive coordinator.
Well, I guess my point is that, you know, Bill being the established, successful coach that he is, you know, he adds, a significant coach to fix things, and you still don't have a designated titled defensive coordinator. You have like almost like coordinator by committee with the younger Belichick and Gerard Mayo. And so everyone automatically admits that it's going to be so much better. Why doesn't Joe Mazzulla get the same type of, benefit? Like, he adds a really good assistant coach who has been up for other head coaching jobs but hasn't landed it. And now, but he's been successful as a player, obviously, and as an assistant coach. Why won't you instantly feel like the Celtics will be much better?
I think because people want more.
What else could you add?
More would be here's what it is.
You want another veteran guy that doesn't want to be a head coach.
Or it's someone who was a head coach and is now over it, but they've been around the league forever. Yeah, I do. I think for those who don't have a ton of confidence in Joe Mazzulla, right? And I know let me hit
text line.
Because a texter just sent in something saying, would it make more sense to hire the assistant coaches for the Celtics after they fire Joe? Let the new coach pick his own assistant. Thanks. There you go. That's wise-assery, but there is a lot of that thought process out there of the, okay, well, who else are you going to bring in? Who's going to be the next guy? Who's the Jimmy Rogers, right? If we go back to the Celtics back in the heyday, right? Who would be that top assistant that should be Sam Cassell? I do think, though, that if I'm Joe Mazzulla, I am still pushing Brad Stevens to bring in one more heavy hitter and somebody that wasn't a player. I want that little bit of separation there. I want somebody who has been a strategist and a head, or maybe a former head coach or a top assistant for a long period of time.
You want a super nerd.
You know why?
You want an Ernie Adams.
A little bit, yeah. What I want are two things. I want somebody who is comfortable in the role they're going to get. So are they okay with getting no credit and all that kind of stuff? They got to be comfortable in the role they're going to get. And I need the strategy guy. Because I think what we're seeing in the NBA now more than ever is you have to manage as a head coach more of the emotions of the players than you are actually coaching them. And that to me is where if you got a guy like Sam Cassell, it's another voice that you can go to, that a player can go to, who would be like, you know, hey man, so-and-so ride you the way Joe is riding me,
yeah.
And you can do the old arm around them. Then there's also the coach strategist part of it as well, to where you sort of take away maybe the need or the feel or the burden, let's say, that Al Horford might have thrown on himself trying to give the coaching nuggets while the coaches were doing their interviews or figuring out what they were doing in commercial break.
I would also say that the head there needs to be, it seems like to me in basketball, a good cop, a bad cop. Now, I almost feel like, in a way, Joe Mazzulla being, you know, thrust into this head coaching position so quickly kind of served both sides. Like, he was the taskmaster that demanded things from you, but he was also still the assistant coach who was also a shoulder to cry on. Like, I don't think you can have both. Like, Ime Udoka would listen, but he wasn't, you know, babying these players. He was calling them out. He was challenging them. It was Mazzulla and Hardy and all the other guys that were probably like the sympathetic ear.
More aligned with them.
Hey,
yeah.
Guys, you know, like that. And that is what Sam Cassell should be doing. So Joe Mazzulla needs to be the hard edge. We're not friends anymore. I'm your boss. We're not going to sit there and go grab a bite to eat or anything like this. Like, I am your boss. There's a separation between church and state. That needs to be that. I think those lines got blurred. I think that was one of the issues. I think they got blurred, you know, but you can't do it both. Either you're their buddy or you're their boss. You can't do both. It's never worked in any situation I've ever seen.
And what you've got to set up is Joe's the boss. And then there are the other guys to be able to deal with the emotion, strategy, whatever in the world it is, to have those kind of guys that the players can lean on. I just looked up the Denver coaching staff, right? Yeah. Now, Michael Malone, his old man was Brendan Malone was a longtime NBA coach. Was at URI for a hot minute in the 80s or something like that. But he's got, like, David Adelman, who Rick Adelman, I think that's his either brother or son, I'm pretty sure. But they've got, like, Popeye Jones is on that staff. Popeye Jones is never going to draw up a fantastic out-of-bounds play, but what in part is he there to do? Guy played in the league, can help players work through things of a different kind of nature that you might not work through with a typical assistant coach. I do think the blend of the coaching staff, do you need the absolute top dogs in terms of your assistants? No, you don't. But you got to have enough pieces to fit to be able to deal with the modern NBA roster. And a lot of that comes down to player emotions, dealing with these guys whenever they want to go, you know, have a go sad in a shower and call the ambulance. Because, you know, these guys do that in the NBA. It's just a part of the deal. When watching the NBA Finals last night, how far are the Celtics away? Meaning, are the Celtics lumped in with a bunch of teams, including the Nuggets, that are just, I mean, a frog's hair away from being in the NBA Finals? As we know, the Celtics are very close to begin with. Maybe the better question, Christian, might be how many teams are at that level where the Celtics are at right now?
Well, I'm gonna stick with just in the East.
Yeah.
Well, I would say obviously the Bucks. I would say obviously the Heat. The Knicks, I think, is a team that is trending in the right direction. I 100% think they are,
but they're not. They're not close to an East. An East Finals.
But here's the thing. So, but they played the Heat,
right?
And they're the one team that they won two games against the Heat.
Well, the Heat,
the Bucks couldn't win but one.
The Heat are defying all logic. Would you agree?
And I would think that is the difference. Like, I'm watching this game last night, the Nuggets and the Heat, and I'm sitting there going, it just shows you how everything needs to go right. Like, what the Heat are doing is in a way no different than what the Warriors did last year. Special group of guys. I can't believe we have another opportunity. Difficult out. Know what their character is. Know what their philosophy is. Trust each other. I mean, they have a little bit of luck. They're fortunate. They make a bunch of big shots. Like, this is why the Nuggets are falling into the same trap as all the other teams that played the Heat. They're not taking them seriously. And then everything that happens to the Heat, like their belief systems, their attitude, like every time they play against a good team, it gets reaffirmed. Hey, we're not afraid of anybody. We don't care about if we're down. We always think we can win. We'll come back in the end. Every team they play, regardless of who they play, usually they have an opportunity to come back and prove people wrong. The Celtics have nowhere near the Heat mentality. Zero. I would say they got away with just camouflaged, you know, problems that finally came back to bite them against a team that was just determined, had the right attitude, was obviously well coached. Because everything that Spoelstra is doing himself, I feel like is almost orchestrated. Like it's completely like, you know, created like anger and attitude. And this is what these teams with chips on their shoulders do.
Do you think with Spoelstra, it's just more he knows how to push the buttons of his team?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think Joe does. I don't think he does.
Oh, no. Not right now? No, not yet. I would totally agree with that.
So
that comes with experience and understanding. I also think, too, a lot of that is rooted in your superstar. You know, like it feels like Eric Spoelstra, if he wanted to lean on Jimmy Butler a little bit in terms of you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, sort of coaching the best player hard and it trickles down to everyone else. I feel like there are certain superstars in the NBA that mentally wouldn't be able to deal with that. But with Jimmy Butler, it is the, yeah, coach, I did screw those things up and I'll work on them and get better. But that he's not going to go sit in the corner and suck his thumb and say, why me? That a guy like Butler realizes that if Spoelstra can ride him hard, then everybody else has got to get on board.
So the answer to your question is, in the realm of championship basketball, right? Okay, because we're not talking about just regular. We're talking about winning a championship.
Oh yeah,
I think they're far away.
I think there's three in the East.
I think they're far away. I do.
The Celtics are far away. I do.
Yeah, when we talk about razor thin margins of error, you know, same old Celtics. You're really about 8 months away from saying same old Celtics. Same old Celtics. Like it's just the same old thing over and over again.
You know, when I look across the league, there's a lot of teams I don't trust. Memphis with Ja Morant, they're a 50-win team that's thrown into turmoil right now. The Kings at 48 wins, like that's going to last. You have the Suns who will now have a different coach. Let's see what happens with the Suns.
What about Cleveland?
Golden State's hanging on, but in the East, that's my third team.
Oh, okay.
There's only three in the East, in my opinion. It's Milwaukee, Boston, and Cleveland. So I think Cleveland has got a better chance to improve their team in the offseason than Philadelphia does. I mean, if Philadelphia ends up with no Harden.
I can't believe that you're passing on the Knicks. I think the Knicks are going to be. I think the Knicks, when it comes to the Knicks, are tryhards.
They had a good year. People will figure them out.
And their defensive base, it's all that stuff, all their teachings. I feel like that's the team that's going to be like the dark horse going into next year. That's the team I would worry about.
Well,
they have a little heatish nature to them.
They're trying to. Problem is, they ain't got a Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler is almost been non-existent in the last two games. 13 points in the first game, 21 points in this game. He bragged and told everybody that he was going to be different. He tried. It didn't work.
And yet that guy is still three wins away from an NBA Finals, and people are down there petting Jalen Brunson like he's the new toy.
Man, it kind of is, though.
Yeah, great. Good for him. He's an average player. He is an above-average player on a try-hard team.
Would you have Brunson or Jalen Brown? Pick one.
Oh, Jalen Brown. Stop now. Jalen Brunson's had a nice year, but good Lord.
I don't know.
That's overreaction city.
No.
Most people.
Does he have a left hand?
You know what? People couldn't have named a Jalen Brunson highlight or hardly where the guy played before he went to New York, where his daddy and friends gave him a contract that everybody across the league went, huh?
He was in Dallas.
Very good.
He was in Dallas, and
there you go.
And they made a massive. Well, let's not get into what Dallas yes. massive mistake they
and
made.
And then all of Jalen's friends and his dad and the guy. What is it? Leon. What's his name down there running things with the Knicks? Leon Rose, the guy who was the agent. They were like, oh yeah, we'll just give him $120 million, and they made the second round of the playoffs. So now they all look smart. Next year, when they're a 41-win team, people will be like, what'd you pay that guy for? Anyway. A team that was never an underdog, but they might be a black sheep of college football, that'd be the Florida Gators of the Urban Meyer years. And Netflix is about to do all of us some good. What will we learn about a certain former Patriot in an upcoming documentary? Foyer and I'll get into that next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England Sports Original.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Gresh and Poirier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Poirier, I know that birthday talk came up earlier. Would you like to wish Robert Kraft a happy 83rd birthday today, Mr. Kraft?
Happy birthday. Well, I guess I don't have to get you a gift.
It should be the other way around, I would think. But then again, I don't know. You were a part of giving him two gifts.
I feel like I gave him my blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah, I gave you my blood and my bones and my mental well-being.
You're good for, you're good on all that stuff.
83 years old. Wow, amazing. Happy birthday.
That is some kind of
run. I hope when I'm 83 that I have his ability.
Well, they make things that help with that stuff now. You know
Still,
what I mean?
Who was it? Was it Robert De Niro who had the baby at 81 or 80, something like that?
Oh, we just went through that. Now, apparently, there's a big paternity suit. Yeah, yes. a big to-do.
It's pretty big news right there.
No, 83 is... To me, I kind of feel like that once you crest 80, you are really playing with a lot of house money.
Do you ever find yourself like, okay, like, so I'm 51.
Yep, I'm 48.
Okay, and I'm like, wow. Like, I'm literally on the back end of my life.
Oh, God,
so I start thinking about that. I'm like, wow. Holy cow.
Yeah, if you think of it that way,
I get into some deep thought and I miss my exit.
Nope, you'll never.
Sure enough, some weird song comes on that makes me think of, like, you know, all the friends that I've lost.
Oh, yeah. I had one of those years. Oh, my God. Like, the kids who I grew up with, I haven't talked to them in 30 years, so it's not like I'm real heartbroken over it. But, like, from my childhood in Western Pennsylvania, like, if I had a group of five people, right, and I was one, three of them within a year, just done. One killed over after he was, like, an auctioneer and got done. Hey! Hey, going once, going twice, sold. Heart attack, killed over dead. Just right down the steps.
Ryzy was getting the number that he wanted. He died.
Yep. And then my other buddy, Big Earl, who was a tattoo artist in Hawaii.
Oh, Big Earl.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was Big Earl, there was Bigger Earl, there was Little Earl, and then there was Sheldon. We went through all that on the old show. But anyway, I think they just pushed him right into the ocean. It was just like, well, it's over with. Put him at sea. You know, that's the life force.
What's his birthday party look like? I mean, is it like, you know, like...
What, a dead guy?
No. Oh. Kraft.
Oh.
Is it like, you know, did you put the candles that don't go out, the trick candles? Do you do that to him?
No.
I think I do.
It. You know what?
It won't go out.
Doesn't it depend on really who is throwing the party?
His wife.
If it were players, right? Say the players were like, Mr. Kraft, come on down to the locker room, blah, blah, blah. I could see the players doing that. I would not see the coaches doing that whatsoever. I could see some people in the organization maybe doing that. Maybe Stacey James could get away with that. But anybody else, unless you are like the head sales guy. And then you might be able to get away with, you know, exploding candles or something fun or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because you've hit your number for the year, you're feeling pretty good. You know, advanced sales are going good and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, today, 83 years old for Robert Kraft. Well, happy birthday. And listen, this region wouldn't be the same without the guy. In fact, we might not even be talking about an NFL team in our region if Robert Kraft didn't exist, which is pretty amazing to think about. Netflix is doing a documentary on the Urban Meyer Florida Gators.
Yes.
First of all, how much do they go down the road in this documentary of how a lot of those kids at the time were hell on wheels, and Aaron Hernandez was one of them?
Yeah, somebody put a list together of all the guys that were on that team. And, man, there was a ton. I can't find right now, but there was a ton. The Pouncey brothers, of course, Aaron Hernandez, Tim Tebow, obviously Urban Meyer. There was a bunch of coaches who later became head coaches.
The list of people that went through that Florida program with Urban Meyer is every bit as impressive as the Belichick Browns coaching staff with all those guys who went on to win national titles, Big Ten titles, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting is just how laid back and carefree Urban Meyer was. He didn't care about where you came from. He didn't care about – it kind of reminds me, if you're a college football fan, in the late 80s, early 90s, Tom Osborne and the Nebraska Cornhuskers
had
the same kind of – they had their own, like, little dorm room where only athletes lived, and it was nothing but mayhem and craziness. It was before every team – was on TV. It was Nebraska was always on. It was the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to do.
They were in the Orange Bowl, it felt like every year.
They were basically Alabama. That's who they were. They got the best recruits. They were always on TV. They had an unbelievably, long history of like selling out. It was nuts. But they were always up to no good. Steroids, getting arrested, you name it, they were doing it. That was that Florida team. So imagine with all those like hardcore, just law abiding athletes, and then Tim Tebow.
I mean, it
guys,
just,
Jesus doesn't want you to have, unprotected sex. Guys, Jesus doesn't want you to stay up late. Jesus wants you to just play football.
This is amazing that I typed in criminals on the Urban Meyer Florida Gators. Right?
Oh, wow.
So
right.
What popped up was from June 11th, 09. So this is only like 09 where they, Janoris Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
Marquise Hanna, Carl Johnson, Riley Cooper.
Yep.
Cam Newton.
Oh, that's right.
Jacques Rickerson, Torrey Davis, Jamar Hornsby, Jermaine Cunningham, former Patriot. Yep. Tony Joyner, Ronnie Wilson, Dustin Doe, Dorian Monroe, John Curtis, Brandon James, Avery Akins, Lewis Murphy, John Demps, Dwayne Grace.
Think about that. Cam Newton was a freshman on that team, stole a bunch of computers, and got kicked out. Like, it was Tim Tebow, Heisman Trophy winner, and then they were able to snatch up Cam Newton. Can you only imagine if he was able just to keep his, mitts off somebody else's property? I mean, the story that you could tell about those Florida teams. Whoa, what was that?
What is Coop
what is going
doing?
On, Coop?
Coop, Coop
of girls
is
in
like,
scroll.
Oh, I know what it is. I think Coop is scrolling through some kind of story on the University of Florida. And
okay.
The Florida class of 07 was the stuff of legend. And then there was a photo with Dan Bilzerian and a bunch of half-naked women.
Yeah, in a hot tub.
That
scroll
made everybody
up again.
Stop. Yeah,
scroll
exactly.
Up again. What are we doing, Coop?
We don't need that part of it, Coop. Just
slowly,
get
Coop,
to the...
slowly.
And apparently Bilzerian was involved in some kind of thing as well with this whole... Keep going, Coop.
Coop,
we want to
see
the
hot tub, you knucklehead.
Right. He went the other way now. Now he's denying us our abilities to
what a tease
to look at all that. Well, by then we're gonna have to step away here. All right, so Coop reloaded. There we go.
Ooh, what is that?
I think
where's that from?
I don't know if I don't know if that was a photo.
Is that Entourage?
There's like Ryan Lochte and Billy Horse. There's all the University of Florida was a wild time in the late 2000s. When we say the aughts, isn't that how you say it now?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think so. Anyway, whatever hope you may have had for this Red Sox team feels like it's out the window. We'll get to that final hour next.
Being a Boston sports fan is more than just a hobby. It's a way of life. That's why there's Breaking Boston, hosted by Andy Hart and Nick Fitzy-Stevens, where every morning we give you all the recaps, storylines, analysis, and previews you need to feed your fandom. The latest on the Pats, Sox, B's, and C's, and everything that affects your teams and more. Breaking Boston, with Hart and with Fitzy. Follow Breaking Boston on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.